It was just a little bitty thing, but I couldn't think of anything else to protect myself. And so I grabbed this little tiny fire poker. I flipped off the lights to the kitchen. I flipped on the porch light. And then I could see a form of a large person in a coat just wailing on this door. And the door is starting to separate up at the top, and cold air is shooting through and hitting the curtain that's in front of it. Now, at this point, my fear was at its peak, and I lost my Christianity, and I lied. I yelled in the fiercest voice I could muster, "Get out of here, or I'm going to open up with this double-barrel shotgun." An interesting statement, considering I'm almost naked and in a bathrobe holding a very small fire poker. Fortunately, all became quiet. I tried to remember the sheriff's phone number, but we didn't have 911 at that time in Idaho, in that part of Idaho. I finally remembered my neighbor Sam's number, and I called him. And I told Sam, I said, "Would you please call the sheriff?" Which he did. And about 10 minutes later, two sheriff's cars arrived silently. The sheriffs got out, looked around, and then they finally came to my door. By this time, I was fully dressed. My home was surrounded by a 6-foot wood fence. And on the inside of the fence, I had wood stacked because I heated with wood there. And before the most recent snow, I had had wood delivered. And the guy that had delivered the wood had just thrown the wood against the back side of the fence. So I had a fence with wood on one side and wood on the other. And the sheriff's deputies took me around, and they showed me the footprints in the snow. And you could see where this man had just walked up and over my fence and to my backyard. Pretty bold, since my pickup is in the driveway, and pretty bold, since my kitchen light's on. And I was very concerned. He could have been armed. I could have been hurt. I was shaken that night, but I was safe despite my lack of faith and my lie, and God had saved me, and he'd even used my very friendly, non-barking dog to help scare off this intruder. Today, we live in a time in Earth's history where fear is common. People fear earthquakes. We fear famines. We fear being a victim of crime. We fear aging and illness. We fear our parents aging and their illnesses. We fear death, our own and that of our loved ones. We fear financial ruin, loss of jobs, loss of earthly security. We fear the dark and the unknown. What is the answer for overcoming our fears? I read this story, and I thought it illustrates it well. One of the Native American tribes here in the United States would practice a very unique thing for training their young braves. On the night of the boy's 13th birthday, the young brave was taken deep into the dense forest to spend an entire night alone. That right there doesn't sound very fun. Until then, he had never been away from the security of his family or from the tribe. But on this night, he was blinded and led deep into the forest, miles from the tribe. When the blindfold was removed, he was left in the middle of a thick woods by himself in the dark. And he remained there all night long. Every time a twig snapped, he would probably visualize a wild animal ready to pounce. Every time an animal howled, he probably imagined a wolf ready to leap out of the darkness. Every time the wind blew, he wondered what more sinister sound it masked. And no doubt this was a terrifying night for many a young brave. After what seemed an eternity, the first rays of sunlight entered the interior of the forest. Looking around, the boy saw flowers, trees, the outline of a path. And then, to his utter astonishment, he beheld the figure of a man standing just a few feet away, armed with a bow and arrow. It was the boy's father. He had been there all night. Our God is just like the Father in this illustration. He is there to protect us and see us through the fears that come with living on this sinful planet. The answer to overcoming our fears is the God of the Bible. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, and if you don't have a Bible, I'd like you to grab a pew Bible. This is one time I'd like to see as many Bibles as possible. Turn to Psalms chapter 27. This is written by David. And for those of you that know, David underwent probably more fear than we'll ever experience in our lives. You have never been hunted down with the head of your nation is sending his best troops after you. This would not be a good thing. And David writes this in the midst of all this. And this is something I want you to read and listen to and think of the words. Psalms chapter 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And if God is your salvation, why would you be afraid? If you were in the forest and God was sitting next to you, why would you be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, mine enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Listen to this. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry, hear my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have arisen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would not have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. As we come to the close of Earth's history, we are told that there will be a time of trouble as never before. As a child, I used to become very afraid as I thought of these things. But the way to overcome these fears is to focus on God. We need to learn the scriptures that promise God's protection and his care. And just as David learned to trust God when he was hunted by Saul and his army, so we must learn to put our trust in God. When we pray to God, he will take care of us. When we open the Bible, we see that he has given us promise after promise of protection. Here are just a few of God's promises. The first is our scripture that Alyssa read, Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Another great chapter in Psalms is Psalms 91. I chose only to read verses 5 through 7, but the entire chapter is great. But 5 through 7 says this: You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Another one from Psalms 34:7. This most of us memorize somewhere. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. As we look for the second coming of Jesus, if we focus on him who has died for us and redeemed us, we do not need to be afraid. Luke 17:26 says, And as it was in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the Son of Man. Now we know that Noah preached of the destruction of the earth by flood. And Noah was living and focusing for God the entire time he was building on the ark. Today we live in a time where we are living for and focusing on God while waiting for his second coming. And during this time we should be focusing and helping to spread the gospel to the whole world. And for those of you who may fear the time of trouble, as I have often done, especially as a child, you might want to look at the story of Daniel and his three friends as presented in the little book, Prophets and Kings. The story in itself is great, but in the last of the chapter there, on page 513, is a great quote. In the midst of the time of trouble, such has not been since there was a nation, his, Christ's chosen ones, will stand unmoved. Satan and all the host of evil cannot destroy the weakest of God's saints. Angels that excel in strength will protect them, and on their behalf, Jehovah will reveal himself as the God of gods, able to save to the uttermost those who have put their trust in him. Today, as we look at how to overcome fear by focusing on him, we have asked some of our youth to speak on this topic, and today they will complete our sermon. So at this time, I would like to have all those who are involved with that to please come forward, and we will hear from our youth today.
Hi, I'm Julia, and I am going to talk about my fear of going back to school. This summer, I was fearful that I would not be able to return to Merced Christian School. I have dyslexia, and it makes reading, writing, and spelling difficult. Last year, I had a hard time in school and had to homeschool part of the year. I miss my friends from school. I prayed all summer that I could return to my school. I went to a tutor and got extra help. I am happy to say that God answered my prayer, and I am back at Merced Christian School with my friends. Matthew 21:22 says, And all things you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive.
In my 13 years of life, I have come to realize that everyone has fear. Sometimes those fears can be caused by small situations, and other times they are caused by overwhelmingly big situations. I have two short stories to illustrate this point. Recently, our family got a 7-week-old kitten named Tilly. One day, we tried to introduce Tilly to our dog, Bailey. At first, our dog was very aggressive towards Tilly. Our dog's aggression was instantly changed to fear when little Tilly hissed and growled at our dog. Even though Tilly is much smaller, our dog was afraid of her just the same. Bailey's fear was caused by merely a small furry kitten. Now, for my second story. 5-year-old Danny was in the kitchen as his mother made supper. She asked him to go into the pantry to get her a can of soup. But he didn't want to go in there alone. Danny explained, "It's dark in there and I'm scared." She asked again and he persisted. Finally, Mom said, "It's okay, Jesus will be in there with you." Danny walked hesitantly to the door and slowly opened it. He peeked inside, saw it was dark, and started to leave when all of a sudden an idea came to him, and he requested with confidence, "Jesus, if you're in there, can you hand me that can of soup?" Danny had an overwhelming fear of the dark. In this case, it was the dark, scary pantry. Although Jesus didn't hand the can of soup to Danny, Danny had the right concept. We should always trust in God to deliver us from our fears. Psalms 56, 3 and 4 says, "But when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me?" No matter what our fears may be, big or small, we can always trust in God to deliver us.
I'm going to read a verse from Deuteronomy 31, 6 through 8. "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave nor forsake you." I looked up the word fear in the dictionary. It has a total of 10 different definitions. One is distressing emotional stirrup by impending danger, evil, pain, etc. Another one is reverential awe, especially toward God. I remember the day I learned what real fear was. It was one spring day in 2009. I was at school when, on my way to the office, I tripped and hit the front of my head on the concrete. I was fine, just a couple of scrapes on my elbows and legs, but other than that, I was okay. The next day, I woke up with a headache, and I was vomiting. 2 days later, I went to urgent care. They said it was just migraines, and they gave me medication. It didn't work, so we went back. They had an MRI, CAT scan, and a bunch of other tests on me, but they all came back negative. So the doctors were very confused on why I had headaches. They ended up sending me to Children's Hospital in Madera. At this point, I was very worried that my headaches would never go away. Every night, I would pray to God to take away my pain. I stayed in the hospital for about 1 week. They sent me home because the medication they were giving me through IV was not working. It was actually making me feel worse. When I got home, one of our family friends came over and prayed with us. That night, I was able to sleep peacefully. Even after all the pain I went through, I always felt like Jesus was right there with me the whole time. I think it was the only reason that I had courage to keep fighting through. It's been 2 years now, and I haven't had any major headaches since then. I thank God all the time for taking away my pain and my fear. Now, I always remember to pray when I'm in fear because God will always be by my side.
Amen.
What is fear? According to dictionary.com, the word fear is a distressing emotion aroused by impending danger, evil, or pain. This threat is real or imagined. Fear is a word that we are all familiar with, whether we'd like to believe that or not. Everyone faces some sort of fear. Orlando Bloom is scared of pigs. Jennifer Aniston and Cher are afraid of flying. Nicole Kidman is afraid of butterflies. President Roosevelt was so afraid of the number 13 that he refused to share dinner with 13 people. Fear is based on something that we think may happen in the future. We can be afraid to fall, but once we are falling, we are afraid to hit the ground. Once we hit the ground, we may fear we have a bad injury. Once we know we have a bad injury, we may fear the pain and the consequences of not being able to work for some time or being disabled, etc. So one could say that fear is always based on something that has not happened yet and is therefore a fantasy of our mind rather than fact. Dale Carnegie quotes, "You can conquer almost any fear if you only make up your mind to do so." For remember, fear doesn't exist anywhere except in the mind. I myself have several fears. Splinters, pencils on the ground, roller coasters that look like a form of execution. These fears seem very small and insignificant, but fear is a real thing. So how can we stop being afraid? Isaiah 41:13 says, "For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, 'Do not fear, I will help you.'" If God is right here with us, why should we be afraid? Deuteronomy 31:6 reads, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." God is always with you. No matter what happens, he will never leave you alone. This last verse is one of my favorites. "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Hebrews 13:6. When we have the maker of the entire universe on our side, what can anyone do to us? Just remember that the same God who said, "Let there be light," and saved Daniel from the lion's den, and calmed the storm and helped David defeat a giant, is right here next to you, ready to help you through whatever fears you're facing.
Today I'm going to talk to you about fear. Lots of people in the Bible faced fear, but one in particular I'm going to talk about today is Moses. When Moses was a small baby, the Pharaoh wanted to kill all the Israelite boys under the age of 2. So Moses' mother put together a basket and coated it with tar, and she floated him down the river with the supervision of his sister Miriam. Meanwhile, as the princess was taking a bath, she spotted the basket and ordered one of her servants to get it. When she opened the basket, she discovered little Moses. She raised Moses as her own son in the palace. Moses grew up to be a person of the royal court. One day, as he was surveying the slaves, he noticed in the corner a guard beating a slave. Moses defended the slave and killed the guard. Realizing what he had done, he ran away in fear, hoping that everyone would forget about it. He traveled wearily upon the desert sands. Finally, he arrived in a land known as Midian. He met a priest and his 7 daughters in that land. The girls went to get some water and from the well when some shepherds scared them off. Moses defended the girls and watered their sheep. The priest invited Moses to stay and eat dinner with them. The priest gave one of his daughters, Zipporah, to marry Moses. Later, Moses returned to Egypt, and God used him in a mighty way to lead his people. When Moses killed that guard, I'm sure he felt fear. But Hebrews 13:6 says, "So we can feel sure and say, 'I will not be afraid because the Lord is my helper. People cannot do anything to me.'" So when you are feeling fear, talk to God about it, and he promises to deal with our fear.
First, I'm going to talk about what fear is to me. To me, fear is something you feel inside of your heart, something that feels like it's never going to go away, even if it really only lasts for 5 seconds. You feel like it lasts for hours. Well, I have a little story of my own about fear that I would like to share with you. One night after school, my grandma was taking me to a friend's house. I was supposed to be spending the night, but before we left, my grandma forgot to call them to let them know that we were on our way. So when we got there, she dropped me off and left. Now, she usually waits to see if anyone's home, but this time she didn't because she was in a hurry to go take my dad somewhere, so she forgot about me. So I went up to the front door and knocked. No one answered, so I thought they were asleep. So I knocked again. All I heard was their two dogs barking and nothing else, so that's when I found out that they weren't home. I backed up from the front door and stood there all alone in the darkness. Then I started thinking of the bad neighborhood I was in, and all of a sudden I was scared. I felt fear I had never felt before in my life. I was so scared I started to cry. You know what I did? The only thing I knew how to do, pray to God. I prayed to God that nothing terrible would happen to me. I prayed that some nice person driving their car would stop and lend me their phone. When I was finished, I walked to the curb and sat down, and I sat there for about an hour, crying and praying. But then a car passed me. I thought it was going to just keep on driving, but it didn't. It stopped, turned around, and drove up to the side of the curb and asked me what was wrong. I told them why I was out here, and guess what they did? They lent me their phone. When I was finished calling, I looked up into the starry sky and said these three words, "Thank you, Jesus." So 5 minutes went by, and they stood there the whole time with me waiting, when suddenly a big red car pulled up behind them, and at first I didn't know who it was. But then my friend's mom came out of the car coming, running up to me and gave me a big hug. And all the fear of being alone in the darkness washed away. That's my story about fear. After that night, I learned to trust in God and always pray when you're in situations like that. It will make a difference in your day.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. I learned on the internet that 98% of all Americans live in fear, and that's only Americans. The good part is, God knew as humans we would struggle with fear, so he stuck promises in the Bible that tell us we don't need to be afraid. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you.
Amen. Hello and good morning. Today I'm going to illustrate the topic of fear with a story that took place just this summer. My family and I took a trip to Universal Studios this past July, and if any of you have ever been there, besides waiting in long lines, there isn't much to do after a couple of hours, unless you're from another country and get really starstruck over the idea of Hollywood, which I'm obviously not. My sister Rachel and I had gotten tired of standing in line just to go on the same rides over and over and decided to visit an attraction with a very short wait time, the Haunted House. Now we know why the wait time was so short. We were warned that the performers would not touch us, don't touch them, and weren't quite sure why they were cautioning us. We soon found out. After the first few seconds walking in the dark with a few scary spooks, the real terror began after I walked into the curtain with my eyes shut and, thinking something was touching me, began screaming, which just happened to attract these horribly disfigured and creepily dressed actors who took it upon themselves to give me something to scream about. Apparently, they like to prey on those who look easily scared, and Rachel and I could not have been more perfect targets. One creep in particular took a special interest in me, hissing in my ear for what seemed like hours as I ran, screaming hysterically to the point I was almost in tears with my head down and my arms cradled around my head. Suddenly, the noise disappeared, and I felt someone dragging my arm. I anxiously opened my eyes and saw my sister, eyes wide, pulling me towards the emergency exit. Once we were back in the warm sunlight, she explained to me that she had run after this hissing creep and yelled at him to stop because I have a history of seizures. I don't. Even though that wasn't on the list of conditions that were warned against visiting this attraction, it got his attention and he let us go. In our everyday experiences, we are often faced with temptations, things that look appealing for some reason and may override our common sense to resist. While the actors in the haunted house probably live normal, happy lives outside of their jobs, Satan's clever disguises are very real, and sometimes it's not until we're in too deep that we realize we need the strength of our very patient Savior to guide us through the emergency exit and back to the path of safety. Mind you, not every person who entered the haunted house had an experience like I did. Those who walked through calmly remained undisturbed and probably had a good laugh at people like me who are actually scared of haunted houses. Proverbs 28, verse 1 reads, "The wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion." Those of us who walk with Christ should always be aware of the possible dangers that are around us, but we do not have to be scared of them because the power of goodness is never defeated by the power of evil. Whenever I find myself frightened, I'm reminded of the promise found in Psalms 23. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I will never again go into another haunted house as long as I live, but I am glad to know that even in the scariest, darkest valley, I don't have to be afraid because I have Jesus by my side."
Fear is a common thing in all of us, but when I was about 6 years old, I came up with one of the weirdest phobias, plastibolsophobia. In other words, fear of plastic bags. My parents had warned me when I was little to never stick a bag over my head because it could choke me. Well, I took it to the far extreme. Whenever we had some plastic bags sitting out in sight, and especially one time when we had some plastic bags holding items sitting in our living room, I would see them and go spastic. The mere sight of the bags would remind me of what my parents told me. How I thought that those bags were going to magically go over my head and suffocate me to my death, I really don't know. I was so terrified of these plastic bags that when we would go on vacation, I would be deeply relieved not to have to worry about plastic bags suffocating me. But when I had to go back home, I was petrified once again. As I recall, this bizarre phobia lasted for several months. My other fear, I only vaguely remember. But my parents distinctly remember and have told me the story several times. I was about 3 years old, and we were traveling home in the dark, in the snow from a ski trip. I got into my brain that rattlesnakes were going to crawl into our car, which was probably traveling at least 20 miles per hour. I just kept asking my dad and mom over and over, all the way from the ski resort to Jackson, which in the snowy conditions was about 2 hours' drive, "Are you sure the snakes aren't going to get into the car?" My parents had to constantly reassure me that rattlesnakes did not go slithering in the snow, and they could not chase down a car, open the door, and slither inside and bite me. They were probably rather fed up with me asking them this question over and over. How I came up with these fears, I do not know. But what I do know is that no matter what fear you have, God will help you overcome it. I've heard in the Bible that God tells us 365 times not to fear. That is one time for every day of the year. But somehow fear still sneaks in, no matter what. And each time, he helps us overcome our fears. Even the childish phobias, like fear of plastic bags and snakes crawling into our car. By the way, I no longer have these fears. For our ending, let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this Sabbath day and for the youth who participated in this service. May it be a blessing to your ears. Bring us back safely next Sabbath. In your name I pray, amen.